Thank you, Pastor. It's a joy to be back here again, and a lot of familiar, friendly faces, and glad that I got some names already this morning. Look forward to the week with you, and trust the messages that will come. Everything's new now. We reviewed in Sunday school how to be successful in our families according to what the Bible says, and now we're moving on to new topics this morning in life. We'll kind of have some general thoughts, and then tonight on discernment, how to have biblical discernment. Do we not need biblical discernment in the day in which we live today? And the Bible speaks to every issue, you need to come back tonight and to hear how it speaks to every issue. Decision-making, finding God's will for your life, how to be successful in knowing God's will for your life on Monday night. Finances on Tuesday night, because if you're not faithful in the unrighteous mammon, Luke 16 and verse 11, who can commit to you the true riches of life? In other words, the true riches of life are not dollars and cents, and most of us can admit to that. But God says if you're not faithful in the unrighteous mammon, then how can he commit to you the true riches of life? So we need to handle God's resources properly. And then on Wednesday night, we've all been through trials. We've all had difficulties. I just came through chemotherapy treatment myself. I don't know if you noticed my hair is different than last time, but at least I have hair because I lost it all at Christmas time because of being diagnosed with lymphoma and having to go through chemotherapy treatment. How many else here has gone through chemotherapy treatment? May I see your hands? Anybody else? Yeah, Terry. Yeah, a few of you. Did you lose your hair?
Part of it, yeah.
Mine was bald, man. Cue bald. That's what I had. But in God's grace, I went through those treatments, and my last PET scan was clear. And so I don't have another one until June. And we'll just kind of trust the Lord for each day of life. But in this world, the Bible says, you're going to have tribulation. And we could all say amen to that, right? But here's the key. But Jesus said, I have overcome the world. And we can be overcomers as well. And we'll talk about how to do that on Wednesday night. And I give you those topics, and there's flyers back there that have those topics as well, because I've already had somebody tell me of somebody that wanted to come on that message in regard to trials. But maybe finances, decision-making, it's very important to make decisions according to God's word. And, of course, everybody needs biblical discernment. Everybody needs to take the Bible and be able to judge all things, and we'll talk about that tonight. But I want you to turn to Joshua 1 and verse 8, because this is our theme for the week. This is our theme for the week, because God tells us how to have success. You don't have to wonder about it. God tells us how to be successful in his sight. And Joshua 1, 8 is our theme verse that I hope, if you've not memorized it before, you will memorize it now, because every service we're going to quote it together. Like Lynn quoted her Bible verse, you did a great job. Now let's see how we can do by the end of the week. Let's see if we can have Joshua 1:8 memorized so it reminds you how to have success. Okay, we're going to do just like Lynn did. We're going to do the reference, the verse, and the reference. And you're welcome to read it if you don't have it memorized, okay? Together. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have. And where's that found? And how many people woke up this morning and said, I want to fail today? I'd sure like to be a failure. It'd be great, you know, if I just blew it today. No. I think we all would like to see our lives count for the Lord Jesus Christ. I grew up in northern Indiana, farming community. I really didn't have a family that taught me the scriptures and taught me about salvation. I did go to church, and I joined a church because I like to eat. And those of you that have fellowship with me, you're going to see that. You know, Pastor and his wife saw that last night, you know, that I'm pretty good at that process of eating. And as a young man growing up in this church, they had the threefold communion. I don't know if any of the rest of you have ever participated in the threefold communion. In our Baptist churches, we have the bread and the cup. But in the church I grew up, they had the bread and the cup. They also had a feet washing service. And then they also had the marriage supper of the Lamb, where they would kill the fatted calf, and it would be representing the marriage supper we'll have in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ someday. And I'm looking forward to that one. But as a young boy smelling the fatted calf being cooked, I said, man, this smells good. How do you participate in this? Well, you have to join the church. And I said, well, okay, how do I join the church? Well, you have to go forward and get baptized, and then you can join the church, and then you can participate in the threefold communion. So you know what I did? I joined the church. I got baptized, and I participated in the threefold communion, but nobody ever told me how to be saved, how to know my sins were forgiven, and I was on my way to heaven. I had this idea that there was a big scales in the sky. You know what I'm talking about? As a boy, and if my scales tipped to the good side, I'd get to go to heaven. And if it tipped to the bad side, then I would go to hell. And so I wanted to be a good boy. Of course, I had a strict father, too. And I thought if it didn't behave, he'll probably kill me. And if he kills me and I'm not a good boy, then I'll go to hell. So it's double problems for me. So, you know, it was one of those things that if you were to go to Indiana, Lakeville, Indiana, and talk about Carl Herbst, oh, he's a good little church boy. But, you know, going to church doesn't get you to heaven. Do you all know that? Just because you're here this morning doesn't mean you're going to be in heaven someday. And I went off to college on a basketball scholarship and to play basketball. And my brother had gone to a college called Taylor University. I went to Indiana Central College in Indianapolis. He went to Upland, Indiana. And between my freshman and sophomore year, I went to work for my brother. And he said to me, Carl, are you going to heaven? And that's a question I'd like to ask you this morning. Are you going to heaven? Now, I said, I hope so. I hope so. Now, let me ask you a question. Is that the right answer? Oh, good. I'm glad you know that. What's the right answer? Yes, but I didn't know yes. I was being honest with my older brother, unbeknownst to me. His basketball coach at Taylor University had led him to Jesus Christ, and he had come to know Christ as his Savior, and he's burdened about his little brother. And he didn't witness to me or anything. He just said, the Bible says you can know that you're going to heaven. And I got fascinated, and I went to the book of Romans. I want you to turn with me to the book of Romans. Because the first thing the Bible can help us with is our salvation. Our salvation. It all starts with our salvation. You will never learn how to live life. You'll never be successful in life until you have salvation. You are separated from God without salvation. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We are separated from a holy God because of our sin until we have salvation. And so I went into Romans, and in Romans chapter 3, are you all there? It says in verse 10, there is none righteous, no, not one. Well, I knew that. I mean, that's why I was trying to be good so I could get to go to heaven. But then in verse 20, it says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Now remember, I'm a young boy and early preteen years, about 12 years of age, trying to figure out, you know, growing up, how I'd go to heaven. And I thought it was by doing good deeds. Now I'm 18 years of age, and I'm reading this passage of Scripture, and it says, by the deeds of the law, no flesh shall be justified in his sight. Now, I was smart enough to understand what he's saying. You can't go to heaven by working your way to heaven. Now, I didn't know Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 at that point. For by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I've learned it since. But I read that and I said, man, I'm in trouble. And by the way, you're in trouble too if you're trying to work your way to heaven. Because the Bible is plain, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. God gave the law so that we could know we couldn't live up to it. So that we would know we're sinners. Because if you live the whole law, but you're guilty in one point, James tells us, how much are you guilty of? You're guilty of it all. So verse 23 then said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Kind of compares with verse 10. There's none righteous, no, not one. And then verse 24 caught my attention. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. It's not in the church. It's not in the baptism. It's not in the threefold communion or any communion. It's through the Lord Jesus Christ and Christ alone. And his death, burial, and resurrection, the good news. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He was buried. He rose from the dead on the third day, according to the scriptures. He had victory over death, so we can have victory over death as well. The salvation message is very plain in the scriptures. But it was verse 28 that God used in my life. I have written here in my Bible, August 1969. I was all by myself. Nobody told me to write down the specific date, but I went back later and realized it was in August of 1969, and I wrote that there because verse 28 says, therefore we conclude the man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. For by grace are you saved through faith, believing without seeing. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You know, we should walk by faith and not by sight. Faith is the key. Faith in Jesus Christ and Christ alone. And all by myself, at the age of 18, I put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I was saved. Now, earlier that summer, I had met this young lady in Battleground, Indiana. Does anybody know where Battleground, Indiana is? Outside of Lafayette. Have you ever heard of Purdue University? Well, outside of Purdue University, I went and visited this young lady who was going to go to Indiana University. Oh, dear. I needed to rescue her dear soul. And the college that I went to was affiliated with the United Methodist Church, and so I would go see United Methodist pastors, and he would tell me people I should go visit and try to recruit to come to the school. Well, guess what? This young lady right here is the one that I went and recruited to come to Indiana. I actually went to her house. She wasn't home. And she may want to tell you more about this, but she was afraid when her mother told her that somebody was going to come visit her from Indiana Central College, that it was going to be an old professor coming to try to twist her arm to go. And she was already committed to IU University, that partying school, and I wanted to rescue her from that so she could go to Indiana Central, that partying school, you know, because it wasn't really what you would call a religious school. You understand what I'm talking about? One that has it in name only type thing. You wouldn't have anything around here like that, would you? Just curious, okay? But, so I had recruited her to come to school, and so how many of you remember letters? Do you remember when you used to write letters? It wasn't email, it wasn't text. It was letters. I actually wrote her letters. We have those letters that can show what was happening in my heart, how the Lord saved me. And she told me how she had trusted the Lord as a little girl, but her family had stayed in the Methodist church, and she never grew and never learned anything. We started our relationship talking about the Bible together. What a great way to start our relationship. And praise the Lord, I was saved. My life was changed. And the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he'll be a new creature. Old things will pass away, and behold, all things will become new. And boy, did things change. Not only had I met the Lord as my personal Savior, but I'd met the girl of my dreams. And guess what? We've been now married 55 years, three sons, 13 grandchildren, and hard to believe, 7 great-grandchildren. One of those is still in the womb, but we'll count her. And so we're blessed beyond measure. But it all started with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You'll never be successful. Are you listening? You'll never be successful in God's sight until, first of all, you have salvation. And God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, what? John 3:16, can we all say it together? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? And so if you're here this morning and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you don't have a personal testimony of that time when you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and you were saved. Jesus said you must be born again. I was born again at 18 years of age, my spiritual birthday. And hopefully you've been born again, but if not, you could be born again today. Today could be your day of salvation, and I would love for that. That's the start of the road to success. But I want you to turn now back to the book of John. And I want you to turn to Christ's high priestly prayer on our behalf. Some of you know that's John chapter 17. John chapter 17. He's praying for believers. He's praying for all those who have experienced salvation. And we won't go through the whole prayer for sake of time. But he says in verse 13, Now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. That's God's desire for us. As believers, as people who have experienced salvation, he wants us to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants us to have joy. He says, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. God says, I want them to have my joy. I don't want them to be worldly. I want them to be godly. So God, sanctify them with my truth, the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Why? That the man of God may be perfect, right? You know, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Oh yeah, I know. It's inspired so that you might have doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, righteousness. Verse 17 says that the man of God may be perfect. So salvation is not the end. Salvation is only the beginning. And if you really want to have the joy of the Lord, then as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, then you need to walk in him. You need to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be sanctified. And the Bible helps us not only in salvation, but it also helps us in sanctification. Sanctification. It's that growing process that has to take place in all of our lives if we're going to become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we're going to have the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. Now, Debbie and I got married. You probably noticed that, right? That's hard for you to... And we got married during my junior year of college. I was really spiritual because I was walking across campus one day. She was a freshman. I was a sophomore. And I said, now, Debbie, you have a decision to make. You can either marry me or you can come back to school. And she made the right choice, by the way. She married me. Now, I'm not saying that's for everybody, but I'm thankful that my wife got her MRS degree and married me, and we started having children. That's why we're such young great-grandparents, okay? I just want you to realize we're so young for great-grandparents. But we knew if we're going to grow in the Lord, we needed a church. Every Christian family needs a good church. And if you want a good church, it needs to be a Bible-preaching church. Because what does the Bible say? If you want to be successful, what do you have to learn? They have to learn the Bible. It really doesn't matter what I say unless I'm telling you what the Bible says. My job is not to give you my opinion. My job is to say, here, thus saith the Lord. And so we need to learn the Bible if we're going to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. John 17, 17. Sanctify them with the truth. What is truth? CNN. Not even Fox or Newsmax or anything. I mean, I'm just telling you, God's word is truth. And so we needed a Bible preaching church. So we went to a church and had my Bible and tried to go to this church. And guess what? I noticed nobody else had their Bibles. And then I noticed why they didn't have their Bibles. You know why they didn't have their Bibles? Because the preacher didn't preach out of the Bible. He kind of gave current events. I don't know if any of you have done any. I hope you haven't done any looking around at churches. You're in a good church, so stay right here. But I'm just saying, maybe in your past. And I thought, man, we're in the wrong church. Because I was saved reading the Bible, and I want to learn more what the Bible says. Because that's how I can be successful. That's how I can be sanctified. And so we let our fingers do the walking through the yellow pages. How many remember yellow pages? Now we're really getting, okay. And we found a church not too far away that we started attending and really started growing there. Our Sunday school teacher did Bible studies. We'd go verse by verse through the Bible, and everything was going real well until they asked me to take charge of the young people. We were a young married couple, enthusiastic, an athlete, and they said, why don't you teach the young people? Man, I said, that's great. I'll be glad to do that. By the way, the Bible says, lay hands suddenly on no man. They laid their hands suddenly on me, and they didn't have any idea what they were in for. Because I had the young people, I mean, I was just a baby Christian, and the young people were asking me questions about the Bible. And by the way, sometimes that's the best way for you to grow is to teach a Sunday school class. But if you got fourth grade boys, beware. Why? Well, I had a young person come to me and say, can we lose our salvation? And I said, well, you know, I've never had that question before. I'll have to do some Bible study and see what the Bible says. And so I did some Bible study, found out what the Bible says, went back and said, no, you can't lose it. You know why you can't lose it? It's eternal. It's everlasting. It's forever settled in the heavens. He that hath begun the good work in you shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. No man is able to pluck me out of God's hand. No man. And so I said, Bible's clear. It's eternal. It's forever settled. My mistake was not checking out what the church constitution said. And so they called a board meeting, and they asked me to attend. And they told me, you have to understand, we believe you can lose your salvation. You'll have to read our covenant, have to read our manual. And I said, well, I'd rather let this be my manual. And I have to understand, I was young, a little aggressive, maybe overbearing sometimes. But I said, this is the book that we study. And if you go to a church that isn't studying this book, you're going to the wrong church. You need to find a different church. And if you go to a church without your Bible and you feel uncomfortable because you need your Bible, hallelujah, get a Bible and go back. Because that's where you want to be. That's how you're going to grow. That's how you're going to be sanctified. And so we had to leave that church and went to another church where we really started growing. And then I got a promotion. I was a businessman before I became a preacher. And I studied to be a math teacher and a coach. But any teachers here, anybody realize there's no money in teaching? You know that? Well, I found that out, and before we knew it, we had three boys, because Matt was 19 months old when Mark and Mike, our twins, were born. So we had three boys under the age of two. Survival of the fittest, that's what it was, to get through all this. And we needed some income, so I did the spiritual thing. I went to a headhunter, a professional employment agency, and they had me interview with Procter & Gamble Corporation, and later I switched to Martin Marietta Corporation to make more money. Come back Tuesday night. We'll talk to you about how money doesn't satisfy, but a lot of times people think it does. And so I took a promotion with Martin Marietta Corporation, and they moved me to Chicago, Illinois. Have any of you ever been in the Chicagoland area? Do you know what I'm talking about with the area? So Schaumburg is there, and then you go out farther, and it's Elgin and Dundee. We moved out to Dundee, and we did the wrong thing. Now, I hope you're listening to me on this. God can use anything in your life when he knows your heart, but this is the wrong thing. Are you listening? I'm not telling you to do this, but God used it in our life. We did the wrong thing. We found a house before we found a church. That's the wrong thing. I've helped a lot of people in my years pastoring to not take a promotion because there's no good church in the area. And you shouldn't do what I did, but I was a baby Christian, remember? I'm just growing and climbing the corporate ladder, and I wanted the promotion to make more money. And we bought a house, we found a church, and the only church we could find close by was a Baptist church. Have you ever heard of Baptists? Do you know? Oh, that's right, Wheatland Baptist. That's true. That's where I... Well, you have to understand, our background wasn't Baptist. As a matter of fact, I was taught to beware of Baptists. I don't know if the rest of you had that kind of teaching anywhere. But if you know Chicagoland traffic, I didn't want to go halfway around the world. So we decided to visit this Baptist church. And at that Baptist church, we walked in. How many of you remember, leisure suits? You remember? With the big paisley shirts and all that kind of thing. And my wife went in with her nice pantsuit. And, we were cool. We're professionals. We're climbing the corporate ladder. But we noticed as soon as we walked in, we were weird. Or we thought they were weird. But, they probably let you. But can I tell you something about this little Baptist church, Fox Valley Baptist Church? And I'd like you to remember this. They were a straight-A church. And I wanted Tri-City, where I pastored for so many years, to be a straight-A church. And I hope you want to be a straight-A church. You say, well, what's a straight-A church? A number one, accept people where they are. When people come to your church, I don't care what they look like, I don't care what they act like, I don't care what they smell like, love them. Reach out to them. Welcome them. That's exactly what Fox Valley Baptist Church did to us, even though we looked a little strange compared to what they looked. The second thing is, allow the Holy Spirit the opportunity to work in their lives. Except, allow. Don't try to take your large print Bible and knock them over the head and make them believe everything you believe. And sad to say, sometimes that's the way that we are. And if you don't believe the way I believe, and you don't act the way I believe, and you don't have the standards that I have, and you don't dress the way I dress, well then, boy, whew, unclean, unclean. No. We all are in the process of growing. The sanctification process is a growing process. Hopefully this week, as you come to the services, you're going to take another spiritual step. You're going to grow. You're going to learn some things that maybe you never thought about before. And that's what happened to Debbie and me. And the pastor allowed the Holy Spirit to work. I questioned about almost everything. And he would say, well, here's what the Bible says, and here's how we've decided to apply it. And I said, that makes pretty good sense. Some of the things I'll share with you tonight are things I learned there at that little Baptist church. And little by little, we changed. And things that maybe before didn't seem so bad, now seem pretty bad. And things that didn't seem so necessary seem now very necessary. And little by little, we grew in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We were sanctified by His Word. And I praise the Lord for that little Baptist church that helped us to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it wasn't because of the church, it was because of the Word of God. It's God's Word that changes us and helps us to know what He wants us to do and what He doesn't want us to do. It's the sanctification process. But there's one more thing I want you to see here in John. If you go back to John chapter 13. To a very familiar passage of Scripture where my boyhood church got the feet washing service. Right? Remember feet washing? Jesus washed whose feet? the disciples' feet. And of course, you remember, you know, Peter didn't want his feet washed. And then when Jesus said, I'll have no part with you, he said, then, oh, I wanted my whole bath taken. You know, Peter was a little explosive and back and forth and all over the place, you know. But I want you to look at the end of this because you understand the passage of Scripture. Verse 12 says, so after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. And so you see some people take that literally and need to have a feet washing service. And that's okay if they want to do that, but that's not what Jesus is teaching here. It's not an ordinance of the church. Because he goes on, he says, I've given you an example. Not an ordinance, not an order. I've given you an example. And he said, here's the example. He said, ye call me Lord and Master, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also wash to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Remember, God wants us to be joyful Christians. God wants us to be blessed. God wants us to be happy. God wants us to be successful in His sight. How do you do that? You do that through service. You do that through serving. He said, I've given you an example that you ought to serve others. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. That's the first commandment. And the second is like unto it. What is it? What is it? Love your neighbor as yourself. It's others, Lord, not others. Let this my motto be. Help me to live for others that I might live like thee. True joy comes from serving others. And the Bible gives us instruction on how to serve one another. I don't know, Pastor, if you've ever gone through a series on one another's. But I'm telling you, it is an amazing study if you just go through every place that says one another. You'll bear one another's burdens. Love one another. Exhort one another. You can go on and on and on and on about all that we ought to do as the body of Christ, serving one another. And what does he say? If you want to be happy, you want to be joyous, you want to be successful, you need to learn to serve others. Now, I really didn't have all of the instruction that I needed initially to get involved in teaching a Sunday school class. And I had to leave a church because of what they thought I was teaching false doctrine. But I loved teaching the Bible. And through the years as a businessman, I got more and more opportunities to teach the Bible and to be able to teach others the Bible. And I can remember when I went to my wife one time and I said, hun, you know, I think maybe God wants me to teach and preach the Bible all the time. And just wants me to leave the business world and go into the ministry. And of course, being the submissive wife that she was, she said, no. By the way, it was the right decision at that time. And I had a pastor that was wise and said, if God ever wants you to preach, don't do it unless your wife is surrendered with you. My number one counselor is my wife. And we need to be together on decisions. Because we're one. And men, if you're not getting counsel from your wife, you're foolish. And if I had time to tell you the whole story, if I would have gone into the ministry when she said no, I would be a different pastor today than I, because it was before we had gone to that little Baptist church and all of a sudden the sanctification process was really taking place in me. And a lot of things changed. And I told the Lord, I said, okay, Lord, if you want me to preach, you're going to have to get my wife ready. Now, right, men, we kind of, she'll never change, you know. Of course, women never think their husband will never change, right? To them, you know, no, oh, he's always going to be the same. No, you know, God can do anything in making people grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ and change their hearts. And I came home from that little church, Fox Valley Baptist Church in Dundee, Illinois. I was teaching the adult Sunday school class, and all of a sudden, she was talking to me about my teaching. He said, "Carl, you're really a good Sunday school teacher." I said, "Well, thank you." Then she said, "You know, I mean, you're really a good..." I thought she'd been to a ladies' retreat or something, you know, where she'd come back and supposed to tell her husband compliments or something like that. I didn't know what was going on. But then she started crying. And when she started crying, I knew there was a problem. And man, this is free. If your wife starts crying, you ask what's wrong, and she says nothing, don't believe her. Okay? Love her. Hug her. Pray with her. But my wife started crying, and she said, "Carl, if you'd still want to go into the ministry, I'd go with you. I'd go with you." I want you to turn back to 1 John chapter 2. Because just like I have a salvation verse, I have a surrender verse. Surrendering to the service of my Lord, to preach His word. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17 says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For any man loved the world, the love of the Father was not in him." That was the story of my early Christian life. Loving the world, climbing the corporate ladder, getting all you can and canning all you get, you know, and all the other things that you do in this professional world, thinking somehow that would make me happy and make my family happy. And hey, nothing wrong with secular work. I praise the Lord for everybody that are involved in secular work and we're faithful in our local church in Kansas City. But all that's in the world, verse 16, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it's not of the Father, it's of the world. And look at verse 17. Would you read it with me? "And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Come back Monday night, we'll talk about finding God's will for your life. And I'm not talking about necessarily going into full-time Christian work or being a preacher, even though that... I'm talking about in daily decisions that you make, decision-making that you need to make. All the time we're making decisions, and we need to make godly decisions. And for me, at that time, it was, okay, I'd been praying for 3 years. If the Lord wanted me to preach, he'd have to get my wife ready. And what had God done? He'd gotten my wife ready. And so that night we went forward in our church and surrendered to the ministry. Pastor didn't even tell anybody because he didn't know anything about this, because it was out of my mind. I was just getting faithful in the local church. You know, I was visiting, I was giving, I was teaching, I was plugged in. And by the way, that's what every church member should do. Every church member should be serving in their local church. Because true happiness comes from serving, not from sitting. It comes from getting involved. And if you know these things, happier ye if you do them. So many different ways to serve in our local church, but God had burdened me to go into full-time ministry. He took me out to breakfast the next morning and asked me a lot of questions, and I told him a little more of the story than I've told you today. And Wednesday night, he told the people that Carl and Debbie have surrendered to go into the ministry. We went back to seminary and prepared to preach, and the Lord has given me a wonderful life of serving Him through these years, and I am still happy doing it. Because if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. What things was he talking about in John 13, 17? Serving others. I mean, you have a vacation Bible school and you lead a little boy or girl to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. You go home depressed, don't you? No! You're excited. Look what the Lord did. You know, but used you in that process. You go out and, like you're talking about doing, surveying in the community, and you meet somebody and they come to church. Oh, man, why did they do that? No, you say, wow, somebody actually came. Wow, how exciting. When you see your life count in somebody else's life, that's true joy. That's true happiness. And the Bible tells you how to serve. How to be involved in your local church. How to be involved in your community. How to be involved serving the Lord Jesus Christ until He comes again. And everyone who is saved and sanctified should be serving. Because we're not saved to set. We're saved to serve. Just like the Lord Jesus Christ said, I have not come to be ministered unto, but I came to minister and to give my life a ransom for many. Do you know what? I enjoy what I'm doing here today with you. I'm happy that God has allowed me to continue to preach His Word all these years. And I pray God will use me and my wife somehow in some people's lives this week. That's our prayer. And I pray that you will come every service and learn from the Word of God. You know, my desire is if you miss this week, you're going to miss some truth from God's Word that's going to help make you successful. That's my goal. I almost want to tell Pat, don't record any of them, so they have to be here. No, I will let you do whatever you want to do. But I'm telling you, God's Word works. You want to be successful in God's sight? Well, then this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Well, are you here this morning and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? You're not successful in God's sight. And you're lost for all eternity. Maybe today would be the day of salvation for you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Christian friend, are you still growing? Don't get to that point. You say, well, I've learned it all. No, God resists the proud, but He gives grace unto the humble. We're all still in the process. We're all in different stages. And remember something about spiritual growth. It's not determined by chronological years. You could be saved a long time and still be a baby. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the rebuke of the Apostle Paul to the Corinthian church. You know, no matter what your age, we need to keep growing and learning. And every one of us need to be serving somewhere. We need to find somebody we can minister to. Oh, yes, it starts with our family, other church members, but we have a whole world to reach with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus didn't come to be ministered unto, but He came to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. So what is it for you today? Are you going to be successful in God's sight? Or are you going to continue to disappoint Him because you're not willing to be saved? You're not willing to be sanctified. You're not willing to serve. Oh, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Father, I thank You for this time with these dear folks and for their faithfulness here, for their good attention. Now might Your Holy Spirit actively work in hearts and lives and do a work that only You can do. I pray, Father, if there's anyone here without Jesus Christ as Savior, they'd believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. I pray if there's Christians that have been satisfied and haven't continued the growing process of sanctification, that they'll purpose today to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I pray that every one of us that name Your Son as Savior would purpose to serve others and serve in this local church. Please, Father, work during this invitation time as only You can. Have Your will and way in it, I pray. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, would you quietly stand to your feet? In just a moment, the instruments are going to play. Have Thine own way, Lord. Have Thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Will you let God have His will and way in your life? If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're here and you're lost, not sure you're on your way to heaven, don't gamble with your eternal soul. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved today. You come and we'll have somebody take the Bible and show you from God's Word how you can be saved. Christian friend, have you gotten kind of comfortable in your salvation? Have you stopped that growing process? Would you purpose in your heart today to say, Lord, help me to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, and help me to serve. Where is it that God wants you to serve? I don't know. Maybe in this congregation there's somebody like me that really you've been considering going into full-time Christian work and leaving your secular work and getting involved serving the Lord full-time. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, it's not for everybody, but I'll tell you, it was for Debbie and me, and maybe it's for you. And you would want to come, and like we went forward in that little church and said, we want to serve the Lord full-time. If that's your case, boy, I'd love to meet you. I'd love to encourage you and be a help to you. But however the Lord's working in your heart right now, surrender. Surrender. Be a doer and not a hearer, that you might prosper, that you might have good success. Father, have your will and way in this invitation now. As the instruments play, I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed.